At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Jeremy and Joe starts now
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Hello, Houston. He's Joe. I am Jeremy. It is Jeremy and Joe. Brian's back. And better than ever.
We'll see.
I was just waiting for the insult. I wasn't going to step in until the insult was over.
Who do you think does White Boy Wednesday better?
I was going to ask you how AJ did, but you'll say AJ, so that's fine.
I think he has more range than you.
See, there we go. There was the insult. I was waiting for it.
Is that an insult?
Well, you're saying I'm not as good at something as somebody.
That's, I guess, it is
necessarily
an insult.
I think it's not about being as good. It's about maybe taste in music.
I think it's like insult adjacent. Like, you're right, it is insulting, but that's not like the main reason I said that.
Yeah, he's not Kevin Durant.
I would go with you if you didn't set this up last week multiple times.
Well, I thought that he might be better at you with music. He'd be better. I suck at music. I'm not trying to insult you.
So how were his choices? Did you like them?
A+.
Yeah, they're good. The first one was kind of...
Yeah, first one was bad choice.
It wasn't so much a bad choice as just that it played out forever and took a long time to get to the jam.
Yeah, he started it from the beginning.
Yeah.
Not at the part of the song.
It had like a long lead up or something?
Yeah. We didn't recognize the song. When he said it, I recognized. I think it was Radiohead.
Something Radiohead,
but
yeah.
It just... He didn't play the good song part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But he did a great job. A
very technical term there, Joe. The good song part.
I know.
You mean the hook?
Yeah.
I guess maybe just like the actual song.
The chorus, the hook.
Anything from the song?
Not even necessarily the hook, though. Like, just like the beginning of the song.
Yeah.
Like, it just
something recognizable, yeah.
Yeah, it took forever to get to it. Lots to get to today, though. We'll talk Astros. We'll talk Rockets. We'll talk NFL. Rocket power. We'll talk Girl Scout cookies.
Hell yeah.
Because there's a big debate going on with Girl Scout cookies, and we like a good debate around here. We like a good debate, so we'll have some Girl Scout cookie debate a little bit later. What's hotter right now, college basketball or the Olympics? The college basketball is so hot right now.
I mean, college basketball outside of hockey, I would say.
I mean, this curling. Do you see this? Do you see this shot by USA women's curling member Tabitha Peterson?
Nope.
I do not know this man.
That's very rude. Just because she's a curler, you think she looks like a man?
I don't know this person.
That's not what
I don't
said.
Have. I don't have a drop that says person, so I went with what I had.
Maybe you don't insult Tabitha Peterson. You know, ESPN's given up Sunday Night Baseball in order to play a show that highlights women's sports, and you're over here dropping a drop that says, I do not know that man. We're talking about the gangster Tabitha Peterson, who had a clutch.
She's a gangster?
Clutch hammer. In the curling match earlier today as they advanced to the semifinals of the world.
Yeah. So ESPN's airing a women's in sports instead
it's
of
like
a, baseball?
They're doing, yeah, they're yeah. doing like an hour women program.
You think Alpi's going to be on there anywhere?
Probably not.
Probably not. No.
Probably not you either.
No.
Calling women
they didn't
men.
Ask. They didn't ask. Yeah, Alpi's the bigger get, though.
Did you see
we
that?
We all know what it really
did
is.
Did you see the hammer by Tabitha Peterson?
No.
You didn't see her draw that thing across three. I don't remember who they were playing today. Switzerland, maybe? Three of the Swiss's stones. It was able to get... It almost missed. It almost went a little bit too far in the house.
Look, it's just one of those things when someone ruins the sanctity of a sport, whether it's a man or a woman.
No,
it makes me really question the entire sport itself.
Are you talking about the Canadians cheating?
Yeah, scumbags.
Yeah, but they were called out for it. How did the sanctity get ruined? They were exposed.
They said everyone does
the frauds that they are.
They said everyone does it.
I'm not sure what advantage it gains.
I don't really either.
They release the stone, and then once it goes past the line, they kind of tickle it. They kind of tickle the round part of the stone. They're all round parts of the stone. But they kind of tickle the leading edge of the stone.
Yeah.
Like, what does that do?
Push a little
does it add an extra
honestly,
curl?
What extra force could they get from barely tapping it with the edge of their finger?
It's not a game of force.
Well, But my point is, as I finish the sentence, that they couldn't gain
yeah,
from...
Yeah, but you used the wrong word already, I can tell. This is going the wrong way.
Okay, never mind.
Force. What do you mean force?
Well,
it's a target sport.
Sure, but why else? Why would you poke it? You're not aiming it with a poke.
I don't know. I can't figure it out either.
You're pushing it easier down the ice.
It has nothing to do with force.
I know, but like if the advantage that could be gained was getting a little something extra on it, you could get more from your push off or whatever the term is for the initial slide than you could a finger poke.
I think it's to add a little bit more draw to the stone. I think that's what they're doing. I think they're adding a little bit more spin.
But there again, though, couldn't you get more of that than with just because they rotate?
I would
on
think.
They rotate on the release. Couldn't you just rotate a little more?
Like I said, I don't know what advantage is being gained here. It doesn't make sense to me. I don't know what. I'm sure there's a reason. Otherwise, professional curlers wouldn't be doing it. But we're a bunch of curling noobs. We don't know about the curling. We don't know about the semantics and the nuance of the stone and its movement on the sheet of ice. Mm-hmm. We don't know. I've done it once. I don't know. I didn't nudge it further along the sheet. Now it moves a lot. It's very very hard to get that thing that sucker to stop. Yeah. What a shot! And then the other ice sport. The U.S. women won the gold.
They did just before we started the show.
Won the gold. A lot of players I do not know.
Yeah, late goal with 2 minutes left. Hillary Knight scored.
I do not know this.
That's
man.
Incredibly rude. I don't want to be a part of the show if we're just going to be sexist to women.
And then
Brian.
They scored again in overtime.
This is a day we should be celebrating.
Who scored, Joe?
I don't know. Megan Keller.
I do not know this man.
Megan Kelly?
Keller.
No.
I think the other one's busy.
What was I going to say? Oh, I forgot.
Something about cheating and curling?
That was a very clutch goal. I mean, you score 2 minutes left to equalize and send it to the extra frame. That was nice. They call it extra frames
no,
in hockey?
Overtime. Just overtime. period. Still.
That was nice. That was very, very good. So things are great in the Olympics. The U.S. women are carrying the country, which is why ESPN's going to have a full show dedicated on Sunday night to women in sports, which I'm here for. I'm going to watch that every week. It's okay that they're getting rid of baseball. That's fine. No one's getting baseball next year anyways. College basketball is also very, very hot.
It is.
Lead story last night, Joe, was Darren Peterson, who knocked down a three. I think it gave him 23 points when he knocked down the three. There was, I think, like 19 minutes left to play in the game. And he knocks down the three.
Mm-hmm.
He's on the Kansas sideline, like he's on their side of the floor when he knocks down the three. And he's a great shooter. Buries the three. Knocks it down. As soon as it goes in, he like taps Bill Self in the midsection and they're like, oh, yeah, get him out of here. He was done for the night.
He played like two more minutes, I think, in the game.
Did he come back in?
I think he played. I thought Sean said that, but I could be wrong.
I thought he didn't come back in.
I mean, regardless, it's a bad look. I'd like to declare I'm out.
Okay.
I'm out on Peterson.
How out?
If I had a top five pick,
ooh, that's bold.
I would take Caleb. Wilson,
mm-hmm.
Boozer,
mm-hmm.
DeBansa,
mm-hmm.
and Flemings.
In that order?
No, not in that order.
Okay, those four ahead of them.
But those four
Who's
ahead
the fifth?
Of them. And then maybe take him with the fifth pick.
So he's, okay, all right.
Maybe.
Some people are having the conversation if he shouldn't be the number one pick. You're willing to push him all the way back to the end of the top five.
Well, I want a franchise player, right?
Yeah.
Do I want a guy who can't play? A guy who taps out?
I mean, he's playing.
A little bit.
He is tapping Bill Self.
I just want to know I can't wait to like when the reporting starts to come out in the offseason when Bill Self, when it leaks out. Maybe mm-hmm. it's even after the draft if there's a slide similar to Cam Whitmore when he fell in the draft and we found out the Villanova coach was speaking honestly about him to everyone in the NBA. What's the reason for all of this? Like, is that, we know like the stat guy from 2 weeks ago now?
Which game? Stat guy?
The stat guy who had the text?
Oh, yeah. We like, lied, I think.
You think he lied, but now I don't know. It's almost like Kevin Durant.
Well, he wouldn't have been privy to being around Bill Self.
But at this point, I'm just like, I don't like this kid just keeps not playing and checking out. So if I'm trying to draft a franchise cornerstone player, this is the guy that's going to fix the Sacramento Kings. I don't know. I think I'm taking DeBansa.
All right.
I think I'm taking other ones.
But... I'm on DeBansa as well.
Yeah.
I would draft him number one. You see what he's doing, by the way?
He's put up monster numbers every single
night. And they played Arizona. They're short. Both teams were actually shorthanded. Richie Saunders is done for the year with a torn ACL. BYU second best player. Arizona didn't have Koa Pete. Won't have him on Saturday either. But you have Darren Peterson who's checking himself out of games all the time. DeBansa, his last five games, Joe, most recently, last night, number four Arizona, drops a cool 35 on Arizona. Colorado, a game that they went to overtime, didn't have a good shooting night. 6 for 20, 1 for 6 from 3, 20 points. At Baylor, 36 points. Against Houston, known to be a good defensive team, 28 points on 14 shots. He had 36 against Oklahoma State, 43 against Utah prior to that. I'm not passing up that guy for a guy who's not playing.
Yeah.
Even if he's slightly inferior in talent, which I have a hard time believing.
If this was any other draft year, I don't think we'd be having this conversation like we've had recently. Like, you know, if it was last year's draft and instead of Cooper, it was Peterson, you still take him number one because the talent's still clearly there above everyone else. But in this draft class, no.
It's too good of a draft class.
It's too good a draft class to take a guy who might not want to play. Maybe he has NIL money and just doesn't love the game. Like, whatever it
maybe
is.
Maybe he's trying to preserve his number one status. I've heard that theory a little bit.
I got bad news for him then because I think more people are going to agree with me.
Like bad news, Joe.
Tapping out.
Bad news, Joe, over here.
I mean, look, I know there's a difference in talent here. But can Anthony Richardson ever really recover from tapping out of a game? No.
I think he can.
Peterson.
Now, Anthony Richardson's problem isn't that he tapped out of a game. Anthony Richardson's problem is that he's not a good quarterback.
There's a talent difference.
If Anthony Richardson had Pat Mahomes' skill and he tapped out of a game, we wouldn't be worried about Pat Mahomes tapping out of a game because he's still Pat Mahomes.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
But with Peterson, it's just like, if I have all these options in a draft.
I agree.
Pass, man.
You're preaching to the choir here. I'm on your page here. Bill Self on the Darren Peterson checking himself out. We've had this happen more than a couple of times. I thought he was good to go. We only got 18 minutes out of him. That's disappointing because he could have really had a big night. Still led him in scoring. And they did cruise in victory against Oklahoma State. Another one from Bill Self. It's a concern. I thought we were past it, but obviously we're not. It's certainly a concern. You get into the NCAA tournament, you're playing a team just as good as you, and you need to have all your best players available, so to speak. Yeah, all it takes is for one day like that to derail not only a game, but a season. Yeah, it's concerning, but I do think we're making progress with it. So Bill Self's still taking the high road here, but also like getting a little bit more frustrated with his quotes.
Yeah, he is, and you can't blame him. And because it almost comes off as an injury kind of statement there, of that he's not fully healthy. He's literally standing there, not participating in the play, waiting at the three-point line, wide open, gets the ball, shoots it, and taps. It's not like he's running up and down the court in that moment on a fast break and pulls a hand. He's literally standing still, throws a jump shot up. Like, I guess I don't know what the injury is that supposedly he has.
Maybe it flared up on him. It's cramping. He started to cramp. He's been cramping a lot.
He needs some bananas then, or some mustard.
Mustard prevents cramping?
They gave it to us in high school.
Is that accurate?
I've never heard that before.
I don't want to burn accurate, my BS flag.
I've heard the bananas thing.
Yeah.
Never heard mustard. You were down in mustard packets
bananas,
in high school?
Gatorade, no. Salty things with a lot of sodium.
Yeah.
Mustard?
They're just like a little, like on like a popsicle stick.
Well, like, you had mustard on a popsicle stick?
They're just like, throw some mustard on there and give it to the
Joe.
Guys.
This
cramping.
Sounds like Midwestern football if I've ever heard of it.
It probably is.
This can't be real, Joe.
It is.
You had mustard popsicle sticks. To
if people
keep
were cramping
yes.
Google says it does. Yes, ingesting 1 to 2 teaspoons of yellow mustard can help relieve muscle cramps, often
wow.
acting within seconds to a few minutes.
I apologize, Joe.
It works via a neural reflex triggered by the intense flavor. That interrupts the nerve signal. Now, to be fair, I didn't throw my BS flag.
I'm just saying Joe's right.
I didn't want to burn it this quickly.
Joe was right.
I've never heard of this. I've never seen it in practice.
See?
Ever.
I know some things, random things.
I wonder the effectiveness of this. Like, I wonder why we don't see more of it.
I don't remember what if, like, guys would, like, be good for the rest of the game or if it was just, like, that instant relief.
Now, when you Googled it, did you take the Google AI response? Because that can be kind of iffy.
I did.
Okay.
I did. But there's some, like, articles on it. They're like, yeah, muscle cramps and mustard. So I do think this is actually legit.
Thanks.
According to the internet. That's wild.
Joe eating W's.
Arizona with a win yesterday, shorthanded. They hung on, beat BYU, number 14 in the country. They'll play Houston Saturday, first place in the Big 12 on the line. They're going to be awesome. Aggie basketball on these very airwaves, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Aggie's getting a big win,
helping
their tournament resume. Bucky McMillan called it a must-win after the game. So this is a game we had to win, and we won it.
I like that philosophy. I don't think everything has to like literally be a must-win to be a must-win. Or some coaches and players view it that way. So I like this. Aggies are like what, 7th, 8th right now in the SEC?
18-8, 8-5 in SEC play. Where's Lunardi have him? Lunardi, by the way, is like the worst bracketologist in college basketball.
Yes. Last I saw it, they were an 8 seed.
Like they're a 10 seed as of today. They're the top last 4 buys.
Okay.
So they're kind of like pretty healthily in the tournament.
Unless they struggle here down the stretch.
I mean, well, of course, but I'm talking about it as of this moment today.
Yeah, as of right now.
According to Lunardi.
Anyways. Lunardi's got him second round matchup with the Cougs.
Oh. Oh, Houston and A&M and OKC?
Yeah, if they can get past Wisconsin. Okay. As long as the Cougs get past Wright State, according to Lunardi. Then.
The only thing I really care about when it comes to the Cougs in the bracket is the South region. I really want them to be in the South region.
Yeah, so they can play here at Toyota Center?
Badly want them to be in the South.
Yes.
Very, very critical. It's not critical, but it's something that I'm very mindful of. Joe, have you ever heard of the term WAB? W-A-B.
Nope.
This is something that the committee is going to be using this year.
What is it?
Wins above bubble.
Okay.
I think it's kind of like wins above replacement. I think it's kind of like a war thing. Like what would the team do with like a resume like right there in the middle of the pack?
Okay.
And like if you have wins above the bubble, that means you're winning games that are higher than average. It's kind of like war.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, interesting.
You got to find what you can to make it easier for yourself, I guess.
So get ready to hear a lot of the WAB.
The WAB.
Wins above bubble. You know, yeah. We used to. I remember. I'm old enough to remember we used a good old fashioned RPI. RPI's gone. No more RPI.
I can't now remember the last time someone quoted RPI.
It's dead.
Yeah.
The net killed the RPI. It matters in college baseball because they haven't updated their formula in college baseball. That's still like the go to. But yeah. RPI is dead in college basketball. And get ready to hear the WAB.
That's okay.
You're ready to hear the WAB, okay?
Well, they'll be talking on Saturday, you think? That's when the bracket
probably
comes out?
Yeah. They had a bunch of the nerd people today. They gathered for a fake one.
Okay.
Like the Evan Maya, the Ken Palm. Like
sure.
They gathered all those people to like do a mock bracket reveal or a top 16 reveal. I don't think it's a full bracket.
Yeah, it's just top 16. Where they have the Cougs.
Yeah, Evan, I don't think they've released their findings.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
They're still thinking hard. They're still crunching the numbers. They're still inputting it into their word processors.
They're still figuring out what WAB is.
Yeah. There's also been talk today, Joe, of expanding the NCAA tournament to 76 teams.
But they're pausing it right until the discussions until after this tournament. And then they'll have it for. Bless you. Bless you. I don't really.
That was a heavy one.
It was. I don't really need it. I like where the tournament's at.
Okay.
If they're going to expand, I think we've discussed this before, so if I'm stealing something you said, I apologize.
It happens a lot. I'm used to it.
If they expand it, then the playing game should only be Power 4 conferences.
Oh, I don't think it should be Power 4 conferences.
I just don't think, like, as you expand, you're putting the 10th, 11th team from the SEC and the Big 12, like the low-level conference teams that win. Like the team that wins the Ivy League shouldn't have to play in these playing games.
Yeah, that's different than Power 4 teams. To me, it should be the final X amount of at-large teams.
But yeah, I don't think the bottom teams should be playing in these playing games now. I think they should just be in.
You're talking about the teams that win their conference tournament?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That's fine.
Like the two low-level teams who play in the 16-16 matchup.
But I think it's unfair to say the Power 4. Like, Miami of Ohio is undefeated right now. If they weren't to win their conference tournament, and not that this is the best example, but they were a team that was, like, the second-to-last team in, they should be also in that little, you know, group that you're talking about.
Well, that's safe.
Yeah, like, why would a group of 5 at-large get preference over a Power 4 at-large?
Okay, we can workshop this.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, yeah.
Like, how is that fair to
the
Power 4?
No, you're right. We can workshop this. To play in a playing game, you have to be outside the top 6 in your conference. How about that?
No, I hate it.
Really?
No, how many games are there? Like, how many teams are going to be there that we're discussing?
In the play-in?
Yeah. Like, there's going to be, if they expand, they're going to go from 68 to, what was it, 76? So 8 more teams?
Yeah.
So those 8 teams, you don't want those 8 teams to be teams that have won their conference tournament from the smaller conferences.
Correct.
I'm cool with that. I'm fine with that. But the teams that play, those 8 teams, in my opinion, should be the last 8 at-large teams, and it does not matter what their conference affiliation is.
So just, like, as long as it's not a conference champion, then you're good with any at-large team.
Tournament champion.
Tournament champion.
Because there's the regular season champion and the tournament champion.
Yeah, see, to be honest, I would like to, for those conferences, I would like to include both.
So you want those conferences to potentially get 2 teams?
If they deserve it. If both teams are going to be in.
What does deserve mean?
That's up to the committee.
Wouldn't they both be in if they both deserve it?
Yeah, but should they be in the playing game? Like, they won their conference in the regular season. I just think these low-level schools should play in the real tournament. I don't think they should have to play in playing games.
This is the real tournament.
Eh.
They're expanding it.
Yeah. To me, 64 is always, like, the real number.
Okay.
I don't like the playing tournament as it is.
You don't like the first four in Dayton?
Nope. They're never really, like, teams that are interesting, to be honest with you.
Disagree. Disagree. You hate college basketball.
I don't hate college basketball.
This guy hates college basketball.
No, I know.
I'm half with you in that. I do like to play him, but I think it should be for the last, like, teams, like, at the 10-11 bubble or whatever that line happens to be.
Yeah.
I don't like it when it's the, you know, the two really small conference teams that earned their way in and now they're not actually in. They have to play another game.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
I'm cool with that. I'm cool with a conference tournament champion not playing, like, in that first eight or whatever we're going to call it.
Mm.
But I don't think you could penalize the Power Four by saying, okay, you're all in these, and a group of five team that has a worse resume than you that is going to be in the tournament, now we're just going to give them a bye to the next round.
That's dumb. No,
that's a
fair counter-argument.
That's why I would much rather prefer the last eight at-large teams. Automatic qualifiers, you don't have to play in that first eight or whatever we're going to call it. Okay, cool. I can settle with that. I think that's fine. But you can't say those final eight are all Power Four schools. They should be the final eight at larges. Because what if you have team number 76 on the bubble, whatever we're calling it, that is a group of five school, and now we're just going to jump them all the way into the top 64 because they're a group of five school.
Yeah, I was thinking more I was thinking with my football glasses on than my basketball glasses.
I saw the mustard you've eaten, I think.
Probably. But do you want it to expand to 76? Or do you like where it's
No, I want expansion.
Okay.
Yeah, I do want tournament expansion. I'm a fan of
Is 76 expansion. A good number?
I think so. Yeah.
Is that your limit?
For now, yeah. Yeah.
For now.
I don't like the words for now.
Yeah.
For now. Well, what do you mean? I can change my mind, guys.
No, I just don't like this.
You guys are trying to put me into a box. So you can't reform. You can't ever think of different ways to do things.
That sentence wasn't about you. I just hate that, like, every single sport, the NFL, Major League Baseball, college football, college basketball, the World Cup even, like, we're constantly add more teams, NBA with the play-in, add more teams. Like, I think it loses some of the luster when you're letting in these average teams into the field.
So, like, right now it looks like that would put us at about 20% of Division I basketball teams.
It's not a ton.
It's not, but I don't know how much more you need. Like, I think 76 is a fine number.
Yeah, I like basketball. I like college basketball games. I like more things to watch with stakes on the line.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I just don't know how much more we need to. Like, how far are we from, like, the opening round just kind of going away then and just, you know, the one seed's playing the, I don't know, 20 seed or whatever it is? Are we going to 90 teams?
That would be 80.
80. I was just throwing a number out there. I was trying to do quick math. Not good at it. We all know
that. We will have a Willibits today that'll mention that fact.
Yeah,
yes.
That's true. But No,
I think you would probably have buys.
Okay.
So do my guess. You currently have a buy. Like, the first round is the first four. They just won't call it the first round because it's kind of weird. You get to the first weekend of the NCAA tournament, and they're calling it the second and third round, which is what they did originally. Mm-hmm. Originally, that's what they did. This is the first round. And now they're like, yeah, this is kind of confusing because we're calling the first weekend the second and third round. Let's just call it the first four and then make it the first and second round. They corrected it wisely. So that's really what you have already. You have
– you just get more buys.
Well, 68 games. You have – what is it? Four teams? No, they get because you have 2, 4, 6, 8. You have eight teams right now playing in the first four in Dayton. And then those teams play down to the 64. So really, you already have a first-round bye for a majority of the tournament, sans those eight teams that are playing the first four. So you would just add to that first – we wouldn't call it the first four anymore. We'd call it the first whatever. And all the other teams would have a bye.
How high of a seed should get a bye if you had to keep going past 76? Like, top four seeds could all get a bye, top three seeds, top two seeds. Like, how far is too far with how many teams get a total if we kept adding teams?
I'm okay with, like, the top eight seeds getting
a
bye.
That's fine. Yeah. I think it's too many. Like, I think it's too many. I think we had a good number at 64. I think we really need to expand March Madness. I thought it was perfect, honestly. Like, none of these opening round teams have done much.
I think Syracuse made a Final Four or Elite Eight.
Syracuse made a good run.
Out of the play-in.
There you go. Look at that. Syracuse.
One team.
I think so.
That's all it takes, man.
I just don't know. I don't like it. I like 64.
I'd rather have 100. I don't know the saying. What is it? It's better to have 100 guilty men go free than one innocent man.
Yeah, you're on the right track there. Something I know what like you mean.
That. You know what I mean? You know, it's a very famous saying. Need a bit more enthusiasm on that rocket power. You don't tell me what to do. Who do you think you are? Just because you're one of the dozens and dozens of junkies, the most intellectual, sophisticated listenership in sports radio, you think you can tell me what to do? You can't tell me what to do. Did y'all see the rocket power?
Better.
Did I just completely miss the first one?
Yeah, you did.
I didn't realize I did that. Did y'all see? I was in my own little world there. Did y'all see the end of Alabama, Arkansas, double OT, Acuff drop 49? That's another freshman that's a stud.
There's so many.
That game, it was like 120, like 115, something like that. I flipped it over to Arizona BYU, so I actually didn't see the end of that one because I wanted to watch Arizona BYU because I have a bias towards the Big 12, as we all know. Mm-hmm. Peterson's a bona fide bust for a franchise if he's taken top five. See, what's scary is that he could be the best player in this draft. 100%. I do think he is the most talented player in this draft. That dude is insane. Like, his shooting ability is unbelievable. He's like Ray Allen that can get to the rim. Like, he's a good basketball, really good basketball player. So that's the danger. Like, are you passing this guy who's going to be the best player in this draft? Or are you going to be the guy who takes him at number one and he's the next Ben Simmons? Not player comp, but mindset comp.
Yeah.
So, like, that's the danger. That's the risk reward. Now, I'm with Joe that this draft is too good to take the risk at number one. To me, it's how far are you willing to go before you eventually take that risk. I think he's a guaranteed top five pick.
Do you think it's different for a team like Indiana? That, well, do you think they would? We're going to be one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference next year. He's going to fit in here, right?
That would be stupid.
Like,
that would be so scary. Like, but if he materializes to be the best player in this draft, which is a great draft class, and then he's with Halley and the big bloke from L.A., that's a problem.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, if they win the lottery, it's a problem. The fact that they're going to be a top four team, as long as they get their top four pick, they're going to get one of these guys, and they're going to be awesome in the East next year. It's working out basically as good as it can, like, for them.
Yeah,
you go seven games, you trade that pick for that pick during the finals before Halliburton tears his Achilles.
Yeah, I think it might be a little different.
And then,
I really do. I think that would be more likely for them to take a swing because there's less fear of missing.
Yeah, if you miss, what's the big deal?
Yeah,
like, you're still really good. But if you're the Kings, the Bucks, if you're post Giannis.
That's a good call.
Like, you're looking for a franchise-altering player.
Yeah, I'm proud of you.
Thanks. Appreciate that.
Did y'all talk about the downfall of Tech with Toppin's injuries this quarter? We did yesterday. Yeah, it's a sucky loss. I feel for all Tech fans. Sincerely, I know I come across very sarcastic at times. That was a big blow. I'm curious to see how they handle it. They're well-coached. They have a lot of talent. Now, you're not replacing the best player in the Big 12. You can never replace a Gary Bertier. But Tech, I think Tech's still going to be formidable. Like, are they as good as they were pre-Toppin injury? Of course not. He's the best player in the Big 12. Are they going to be fine-ish? Maybe. I still think they can beat teams. Now, they certainly lose that ceiling. Does Chandler Rome use RBI or RBIs? He's a credible journalist. He uses RBIs like most smart people do. Junkie use KenPom. There are good teams that can go to the Final Four. That being said, it's also not that interesting. The 12-12 matchup is always good, though. That's why I like to see it. Joe still heard about Notre Dame. Hoops, college football are completely different. Hoops has parity. Regardless of Group 5 or Power 4 designation, expand it. There we go. I bet we hit 128 teams in our lifetime. I don't think so.
That'd be a lot.
VCU guys, come on. VCU made their run to their Final Four, they weren't in a play-in.
They were an 11 seed, but they weren't a play-in.
Yeah, they weren't in the play-in. I'll double-check that, but I'm pretty confident. How confident are you?
I'm 99% right on that.
I'm like 90% sure.
It was 2010.
So that was pre-expansion.
That's pre-expansion.
You're 100% sure about that?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't think that was the case.
Yeah, they were an 11 seed, but not a play-in team.
Yeah. You're wrong, 7557. But we don't have a quick hook today. Always confuses me when the playing game isn't to fill a 16 seed spot. Well, that kind of touches on Joe's point that they don't want to like make all the 16 seeds do that. Give the top 8 seeds buys in each region, then have the opening round be for the bottom 8 seeds in each of the 4 regions. None of this playing game for an 11 seed, but the 15 seed gets a bye. Blah blah blah. I think it's a good idea.
Fine with that.
Cougs should be relieved with Toppin going down. Well, I disagree. Like they've already played twice. If they play again, it could be in the conference tournament. Both teams at that point are already going to be in the NCAA tournament. So the only time that they would actually come into play where it's real significance is an Elite Eight matchup,
mm-hmm.
like the earliest, probably.
Most
so I'm not buying into that text. Just not. Like Ray Allen, they can get to the rim. Ray Allen can get to the rim. Not like Darren Peterson. Like, Ray Allen doesn't have the handles and the wiggle and the explosion like Darren Peterson. Darren Peterson's a stud, dude. He is really, really good. Now, I don't think he's Ray Allen the shooter, but he is a good shooter. Very good shooter. Hey, Jeremy Branham, I don't know if you know this, but Chandler Rome blocked you on X. I didn't. I had no idea.
Gotcha. He blocked you.
Yeah. I didn't lose anything, though. Like, I still see people quote tweet his stuff.
Yeah, the way they've changed the formula now, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, so now he just can't see my stuff, so I can have more reckless abandon.
Yeah.
I can say all the mean things I want about him. I don't have to have any restraint.
Yeah, it's just you can't respond to him. You can't quote tweet his stuff. That's it.
But you know what I can do? Because I thought about that.
Screen grab
you can just screen grab it.
Yeah, exactly.
There is zero impact of me being blocked.
Yes.
In fact, I think I like that I was blocked because now I think I have more liberty.
You do.
Right?
And you got major impressions off your tweet.
I did, yeah.
Big time.
It was great for the numbers.
Big numbies.
It's great for the show. It's great for the bit. I think he just got a little sensitive that I called him out for something that he was very obviously doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about this, too, because people have been in my comments on that thing. Have you ever noticed Chandler Rome be critical of players?
Not as much, probably.
Okay, I have. Have you ever noticed Chandler Rome be critical of managers?
Yeah.
Have you ever noticed Chandler Rome be critical of general managers?
Yep.
Have you ever noticed Chandler Rome be critical of ownership?
Yes.
For a man that is so critical about so much, how can you not handle a little criticism?
Great question. I don't know.
713-780-ESPN. Plenty to get to today. You're along for the ride, I hope. Just don't say dumb stuff on the text line, please. I don't want to throw anybody out today.
So we were wrong. VCU did
do it?
Yeah, we were wrong.
Okay.
Keith, credit to Keith, he called in and I double checked his work and yeah, they beat another number 11 seed USC in the first four.
They expanded that long ago?
Texter that had VCU, I would like to publicly apologize on the behalf of the Jeremy and Joe show, saying that you were wrong whenever you weren't wrong. Oh, yeah. You were very right, and we were wrong. I thought I was 90%. Brian said 99%.
Yeah,
so he's
yeah.
really where most of your blame should be directed at. But we apologize to you. We're sorry, and we hope that you can accept our apology. All right, coming up next, Framber Valdez. Is he the most irreplaceable player on the Stros or the best subtraction? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
This is ESPN 97.5. This is Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Sophisticated conversation of the YouTube chat. You can't find that in the Twitch chat, really. Twitch.tv/exclusive.
In his underwear, living in his mother's basement.
I didn't realize I didn't give away any of our show stuff. Twitch.tv/ESPN975. You're bad at radio, Brandon. YouTube, ESPN Houston. Twitter, ESPN975. Joe's at Joe George Radio. Brian's at Sacked by BMAC. He tweets about like anime and stuff. I'm at Jeremy Branham. TikTok, ESPN975 as well. Nah, Brian doesn't do anime. Brian, do you know anything about One Piece?
I just remember seeing the graphic on the Cougars game. That's yeah. all I'm feeling I know
they
about.
They had One Piece out at the Kansas State game. They're going to have it out at the Arizona game, too. And
I
like,
know it's an anime, but that's the extent of my knowledge.
People, I had no idea what it was until I learned about it. People were outside of the building, I heard, paying people for their giveaway that they gave up.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I think they were giving away a coin or a card, maybe a card. And people were like leaving the Fertitta Center, and they were offering like $100 a pop.
Well, did you see what Logan Paul sold his Pikachu card for, right?
Yeah, I did.
So, I mean, obviously, I'm guessing a mass giveaway that won't have nearly the same value, obviously.
Yeah.
But it's crazy what some of these collectibles go for.
The most I ever got into that stuff was the NFTs back during COVID, the non-fungible tokens. Yeah, I got some like baseball ones and like a little bit of Top Shot. I was profitable on the baseball. I got lucky and pulled like a Mike Trout. Like
were you day trading
rare
with
one? I was.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there anything still going on with those?
I think the universe exists, but there's like it has zero value.
Yeah.
Like the most you would get for like a NFT is like a dollar.
It seems like it's coming back for like the. I've started to see like TikToks with like people like pulling like Pokemon cards.
Really?
Like digitally, and I'm like, what's the point of this? I didn't understand it when it was happening.
I mean, if anything has value, it has value. Like, yeah. What's a Bitcoin, right?
Gonna go to zero soon.
That's the most insane take I've ever heard. Bitcoin's gonna go to zero?
Maybe not zero. But
what's it being traded at right now? Like 37,000?
Yeah. Well,
and it's gonna go to zero.
I want to see how much did Jeffrey Epstein really help create Bitcoin? Because that's in the Epstein files. That's gonna hurt his market a little bit.
Let me pull up my Robinhood and see what Bitcoin's at right now. I think I have like. Not a Bitcoin. I think I have a fraction, like a hundredth.
I try. I just like
a Bitcoin.
I just can't get any of it. Like I just don't see the meme coins. I couldn't do anything.
You weren't into Dogecoin?
No, like none of it. Like not Bitcoin. Like
what's your difference?
Into the hot
coin? Oh, I was way off, bro. It's $67,000 right now.
It's
a Bitcoin
go to zero?
Is being traded at $67,000, and you're claiming it's going to go to a zero?
If Epstein helped create it, I would. Like, we'll see what the market does.
Not go to zero.
It won't go to zero, yeah.
And what's, like, people are like, well, what is a big, what's a dollar?
I don't know what that is.
It's
either,
all something we made.
What's a dollar?
Yeah, it's all stuff we made up once we got off the gold standard.
I just don't know how we're going to actually use Bitcoin.
You sell it.
Like, that's all you can really do with it.
Yeah, that's all you, but that's, what's the difference between a Bitcoin and a dollar you have in your checking account?
I can for sure purchase something with that dollar.
But how do you do that?
You either have to have a debit card or you have to pull out the cash in order to spend. You can do the same thing with a Bitcoin.
Not like a grocery store right now.
People have like cards.
Really?
They have like a Bitcoin card or whatever. Huh. And then also like you could have like a Robinhood card. Like you could sell a piece. Like if you had a Bitcoin right now. And in Robinhood you could buy like fractions of a Bitcoin. You can buy them in as little fractions as you want. You could just trade your Bitcoin and then immediately have that go into your account. Okay. Like I don't know about like the mining for Bitcoin. That's way over my head.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't know anything about that. No clue about that.
Yeah, I got none of this stuff.
I have a little bit of Bitcoin I bought during COVID. I have a little bit of Ethereum that I bought during COVID. And then, you know, the random stuff. You know, I like to dabble a little bit. I think I still own a little bit of GameStop.
Really?
You never got out?
The hold, right? Hold to the moon.
You were diamond hands, not paper hands.
Yeah. That was a great time. That was so fun.
To the moon, baby.
See, look, I'm not very smart about this. I understand. Like, I'm just a noob that, like, you know, follows people. Bitcoin and dollar are both fiat currencies. Neither of them are backed by anything of actual value. They're powered by make-believe. That's my point.
Yeah,
100%. That's all currency, though, really, other than, like, if you have gold.
Yeah,
right?
Once we got off the gold standard, it's all make-believe.
Yeah.
Did you see the thing they have in Vegas now? The They're like vending machines.
Yes.
You can put gold into, and it melts it right there and then gives you cash.
That's dumb.
I was like, that's crazy.
I would not be doing that. Yeah.
No, I'm like, how many people are actually doing this? I can't imagine many.
I can't imagine the security for that machine.
No, it's dumb.
No.
If it's literally got that much gold in it?
There's one at Hobby that you could buy, like, these little cards, like these one-piece cards.
Really?
Yeah. Like, if the Hobby, you know, Hobby Airport, they have the new area. Like, you go through 2SA and you take a right. It's like the new terminal.
Mm-hmm.
It's got, like, the Chick-fil-A down there. It's got a gaming store, Brian. You might like that.
Okay.
You
would like that. I'm interested.
So, as you wait for your flight, you can rent a chair and, like, play video games.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. But as you go towards that terminal, you can move down the walking, what is it? The walking stairwell. What is that thing called?
I think it's the walkway.
But remember, do you remember the Ultra Twister, Brian?
Yeah, yeah.
What would they? Because moving conveyor, please
moving,
watch your step. That's what I was going to say.
Moving conveyor.
You weren't here. You're not a Houston guy. Yeah, but they at Astroworld they had this ride called the Ultra Twister. But whenever you had to board the actual like ride, they had a moving conveyor. So you had you had to hustle, right? I was always scared I was going to step in the middle or like break my leg. But you had to hustle, and like the PA on repeat would say nonstop on repeat. Moving conveyor, please watch your step. Moving conveyor, please watch your step.
Were you getting on the ride?
Moving conveyor, please watch your step. Moving conveyor, please watch your step. Moving conveyor, please watch your step.
How long is it going?
Moving conveyor, please watch your step.
Were you getting on the ride?
No, I'm done.
Or getting to like...
On the ride.
Okay.
Both, I think. Well, I don't remember the other side, actually. Because they would let you off, like, way up the track, and then it would come back to where people would wait.
Okay.
I don't think they had a moving conveyor when you got off. But when you got on, they had a moving conveyor.
You're, like, jumping into the
and
seat?
And nonstop. Yeah, you jumped in the seat. And it was, like, I mean, it was a pretty long runway.
No, but, like, I remember, like, at Disney they have that with the kids' Buzz Lightyear ride.
Uh-huh.
I'm telling you, having, like, a three-year-old in your arms.
Yeah.
As that thing's moving.
Yeah.
Felt nervous.
All of them are like Disneylander like that.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm going to drop my kid trying to get in this ride.
Yeah.
I don't like this. This is a bad
moving
idea.
Moving conveyor. But anyways, the moving conveyor at Hobby, as you're going across the moving conveyor at Hobby, they have like this big, huge vending machine. Like, it's massive. And they have like Pokemon cards, One Piece cards, like stuff that we don't know anything about. It's so weird.
Yeah.
But I don't even know that life. Like, I don't know Ball. I don't know
Pokemon. I didn't know until that Logan Paul news came out. Like, I knew there's value in trading cards, but for one to be worth $17 million.
It's crazy. It's crazy. And, like, I grew up in the era where, like, my parents, when they moved down here, they brought all my cards.
Mm.
And I was like, just keep them just in case.
Yeah, those cards had no value.
Zero value.
From our childhood.
I went through all of them. Nothing that came out in the 90s and 2000s has any value.
It was, wow. Yeah, it was too mass made.
Yeah. So, like, there's like, it's like, because every single card is like one of hundreds.
Yeah.
There's no value in anything that, like, I grew up with, so I just got nothing.
I like how much Brian knew about the gold standard, though. That was pretty cool. I like that. I appreciated that. Can you repeat that one more time? Just want to make sure I heard it. Yeah, bro. Moving conveyor. Please watch your step. Shout out to Ball Knower Keith for fact-checking VCU 2011 first four to the final four. You're gone. You know who that is? That's Keith.
Yep. See ya.
Keith is saying, shout out to Ball Knower Keith. Keith is texting us saying, shout out to Ball Knower Keith. We apologize. We were wrong. You can't sit here and talk in the third person. Be like, shout out Keith. I am Keith.
You know,
he knows Ball.
You know he's going to show up in the Twitch chat now and do it again.
Keith K. Cordero?
Yeah, I'll put him on timeout if he does that. Twitch. Immediately.
I like the timeout.
I mean, there's a chance he has multiple Twitch accounts so he could compliment his
I
next,
haven't
right?
noticed him with multiple Twitch accounts.
Okay.
We've kind of neutered
because he doesn't really go into the chat
like
rooms
that guy,
often.
Though.
He doesn't go in the chat rooms often unless he's like defending a take,
yes.
Which is pretty rare because I think he knows that a lot of his takes are weak and soft. Am I forgiven for my McCullers for Duran text, Jerbear? No. That's a stupid idea. Lance McCullers has negative trade value. You're not forgiven for that. Rome versus Branham in the next rough and rowdy boxing match. If somebody wants to set something up for charity, I'll box them. I'll box them. All right, 713-780-ESP. Let's get to the Fromber Valdez. My ADHD is on another level today. I didn't take my meds. Fromber most irreplaceable on this team from last year, or is it the best subtraction? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's Jeremy and Joe.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
He's Joe, I'm Jeremy. When the Texans move to a new stadium, tear down NRG and rebuild Astro World. I'm not sure I would love it now like I did as a kid.
You got kids now, so maybe.
Maybe. Jeremy's neighbor says, Jeremy, at our Kroger, there are Pokemon vending machines and people scalp them and wait for the drops. Insane. I didn't know that. I like how he spelled my name differently from Jeremy, and then Jeremy's neighbor.
One's a typo.
That's not very neighborly.
You got a half, right?
I've never misspelled his name.
How many times have you spelled it?
I don't know his name. That's also not very neighborly.
100%. Zero for zero.
UCLA went all the way to the championship from the first four that year, that the COVID year. U of H was in that final four. It was UCLA, Gonzaga, Baylor, Houston. Baylor beat Houston pretty good. UCLA. It was Suggs hit the half-court buzzer beater to send OT, and then UCLA won an OT.
So that's 2021.
Baylor won. Did UCLA win an OT? Or did Gonzaga win an OT? It might have been Gonzaga, actually. I think Gonzaga tied it and then maybe won an OT.
Yeah, because
Baylor beat Gonzaga in the final.
Did the Zags win it that year?
No, Baylor won it.
Baylor won.
Okay.
Gonzaga's never won a title, correct?
That's right.
Yeah, Gonzaga won it in OT. Yeah, they hit a half-court shot-ish to send it to OT, then won it in OT. That Baylor team was nasty. Nasty team. So good. So good. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. So two teams who have been in the first four have made the final four.
Okay.
So I think that's a vote for expansion. No? I think the evidence supports it.
Out of how many years? It goes back to at least, what, 2011? Because when VCU... Yeah, so
That's a lot. 15 years. A 2 out of 15? That's a pretty big number.
What percent would you need to have for it to be viable?
2 out of 30?
See, my bar would be higher than that. I think it's like 1 out of 10. if it's less than 10%, like, yeah.
Just what I need to hear. Keith's bad takes in HD.
Thanks for listening to us on HD.
Just since the Astros are becoming pedestrian again, can they quit with all the cheesy one-line season hashtags? No. This isn't one. One line.
We chase the fight.
When can we speak about how weak Chandler Rome is? Always. He's soft. He'll forever be known as soft for the remainder of this show's history, which could be next week. Who knows? But he'll be soft, Chandler Rome, every time we bring him up, for sure. Which I have a couple of things in the queue in case Isak Paredes and his infield surplus is still on the... If the infield surplus is still here on opening day, Bad Take Boulevard after opening day is going to be pretty fun. Pretty fun. Suggs shot, won it, not sent it to OT. Is that right? I was there. I watched the game, but I forget. I really don't remember. Miley Cyrus performed in between the games.
Really?
Yeah, it was whenever Wrecking Ball was hot. She came in like a wrecking. You know that song?
It was a game winning shot in overtime.
Okay, he won the game.
Yes.
Interesting. I thought it tied it. My bad. 16 seed won a first four, then beat a 1 seed in Purdue. That was Tobin. Tobin. I forget Tobin's name. Which team was that? Was it Fairleigh Dickinson? Was it FDU?
Yeah,
it
FDU beat Purdue.
Tobin Anderson.
That wasn't the first 16 over one, but that was...
No, the first one was the USMBC.
Yeah, over Virginia. And then Virginia won the national title the next year.
USMBC?
No, yes. UMBC. University of Maryland, Baltimore County.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That was... and then Virginia won it the next year. Yeah. The national title the next year.
Yeah, Echo. Incredible. Echo.
Yeah. That was a... Yeah, Brian, you're not supposed to be stepping on the talent's feet.
I'll beat you to it.
Producers are supposed to enhance the talent, make the talent sound better, not beat them to the punch.
Okay, should we do the topic we teased twice?
I don't know if I want to. I think we should tease it again. Like, we're to the point where I might just tease it again.
How many times can we tease it before we just skip it?
At least third time's the charm.
Okay.
Or do you want to talk about for the next 3 minutes?
I mean, we got like 2 minutes left in the segment, so we might as well save it.
I got nothing else to talk about.
Sam's going to be mad. She's been waiting on this segment for the social post.
Whatever.
Well, Sam misspelled our show name the other day.
Three times.
Yeah.
Three times?
Yeah. Well, she got the order wrong three times. In the graphic, in the description, and then in the order of the Twitter handles. It was wrong three times.
She also had a typo in there, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You should just bury Sam for the rest of the segment. Have her pull that.
What else do you want to say about her?
I got nothing,
Joe. I forgot to call her out for stealing my joke.
She stole your joke?
Wait, did she do it again? Because you called her out when you...
No, but not in person. Oh, okay. You left early.
It was the day you left early, which all those run together. But.
Yeah, because it was like a whole week. Yeah. I said on Granada's birthday, I told her I was going to wish him a happy 90th birthday on the air. And she like chuckled and thought it was very funny.
Oh.
And then she tweeted it.
Oh, that tracks. Because
she tweeted happy 90th to Granada.
There was a time wherever I sent her like one of the things that was a trend on social media, and I sent it to her, and then she used it for Granada and Lance. I was like, well, I'm not sending her any more trends. Like, that's the last time I sent her a trend. Now, I don't blame her for doing that because they're Hall of Famers and we're Wall of Shamers. Like, who would you use the trend on? I agree with her using the trend on Hall of Famers and not Wall of Shamers. That makes sense to me.
Sure.
But in my position, well, why am I going to send trends anymore?
It's true.
You know? So, it's like, I respect her decision.
She's also very bossy about doing our video.
I respect her decision, and I actually agree with her decision. She is very bossy. I have noticed that. She told me that I can't wear a hat today.
She told what did she tell you this before you came in?
Because we shot a video.
We shot a video today because you know TV killed the radio star. Yeah, she goes. She said wear normal clothing.
That's
no like please no like hey can you? It was just
is the implication
wear normal clothing.
In the group text to the both of you.
Yeah, that's a shot at me.
Okay,
oh, wasn't.
Yeah.
Oh,
she wanted me to do some TikTok thing yesterday. I was like, I'm wearing cuffs.
Oh, I mean, kind of feel left out here.
Well, you're not talent, Brian.
I didn't say it was, but I'm part of the show.
But you weren't in the video. Why does it matter what you're wearing?
That's my point. If there's a show video, I should be in it.
Should you?
And then she said
713-780-3776. Should Brian be in our show video?
Don't do that. I concede defeat. Never mind.
My favorite part of the group text was that you said, I'll be there. Yeah. A minute later, she goes, Joe, question mark.
Yeah.
And then I didn't respond for an hour.
My favorite part of the text was because I was wearing a hat today. I was worried about like my hair not being good because she asked me, are you wearing a hat? And I was like, whatever. I can try to doctor it for a few minutes, but maybe a lost cause. To which she responded, huh?
Which she didn't get it.
I mean, I think it was pretty clear what I was saying, right?
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
I think it was pretty clear. Like, I can try to doctor it, but it might be a lost cause. I got three cowlicks on my head. This isn't easy. This is a production here.
Yeah, I was also going to wear a hat. So,
and you did wear a hat.
I'm going bald. So,
to Sam's defense, though, I've never referred to combing my hair as doctoring it. But I still got what you meant.
But I'm doctoring it because it's in rough shape, so I have to like patch it up.
I mean, patch it. I mean, you're not missing hair.
Thank you. Yeah. Having lived in Baltimore, the locals call UMBC. No, I'm not reading the rest of that. I'm not reading the rest of that. I can't say that. I'll get fired. All right, 713-780-3776. Framber Valdez, most irreplaceable Astro lost in the offseason or the best subtraction? 713-780-3776. We'll really try this time. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, 97.9 HD2.
ESPN 97.5.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.